Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for these many gifts which you've given us and give back only a portion of that which you have given. Bless the hearts and the hands who have given, Lord, and have a special anointing on those who wanted to give but could not. Lord, we ask that you use these gifts of grace for the strengthening of ministry here at Gila Mountain United Methodist Church. For this kingdom and the next one to come, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when Kentucky Fried Chicken first came out as a restaurant, it had some very dismal sales. And it was at this time that the Colonel Sanders, the founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken, called the bishop in the Kentucky Conference. And he said, he called the bishop and he said, "Your Excellency, this is Colonel Sanders. I need for you to give me a boost in my sales. So instead of in the Lord's Prayer where you say, 'Give us our daily bread,' would you change those words to 'Give us our daily chicken?'" The bishop responded, "I'm sorry, I can't do that." The colonel countered, "I'll give you $10 million if you do." Bishop said, "That's very tempting, Colonel Sanders, but these are the words of Jesus and I cannot change them." Colonel Sanders hung up. A few months later, sales were still dismal. The colonel calls up the bishop of the Kentucky Conference. "Your Excellency, this is Colonel Sanders once again. I'm countering my offer. If you say in the Lord's Prayer, 'Give us our daily chicken,' instead of 'Give us our daily bread,' I will give your conference $50 million. The bishop had to think for a minute. "Wow, that's a lot of money. That could do a lot of good in this conference. Could help out the poor and many charities. But these are the words of Jesus, and I cannot change them." Colonel Sanders hangs up the phone. A third time, the colonel calls after another month of dismal sales. "Your Excellency, this is the colonel. If you change the words in the Lord's Prayer to 'Give us our daily chicken,' instead of 'Give us our daily bread,' I will give you $100 million. The bishop says, "Let me get back to you." The next day, he has a meeting with the Council of Bishops. He says, "I've got good news and I've got bad news." The bishops say, "Well, what's the good news?" He says, "Kentucky Fried Chicken is willing to donate $100 million to our conference." They said, "Wow, that's wonderful. What's the bad news?" "Well, we lost the Wonder Bread account." I know. This is a prayer that we all know so well, isn't it? This is a prayer that second and third graders can recite. This is a prayer where if you go to a nursing home and actually speak to people who have Alzheimer's and dementia, they may know this prayer in their entirety. This is a prayer you learn in confirmation or in any type of catechism. This is the prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray this morning. And he does so when his disciples come to him and they just simply ask him. They say, "Lord, teach us how to pray," as John taught his disciples. And he responds to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." This is a very poignant and brief prayer. It's full of reverence and theology. You may have actually heard a sermon series with this prayer. There's so much within this prayer and these few words that Jesus offers his disciples. The first thing that he says is that we should say, "Hallowed be your name." Hallowed be your name. You could say, "Holy is your name," when we're first starting off this prayer. Notice where Jesus goes with this at the very beginning. He goes to the holiness of God. That somehow we're asking for the holiness of God to intervene in our prayer, to be there, to be present. I find that quite often prayer is at the forefront of the Christian life. But it's also at the forefront. Am I on? But it's also at the forefront of Christian confusion, Christian misunderstanding, and Christian frustration. Jesus tells us at the forefront of our prayers should be an invocation to the holiness of God. And I find that quite often when we pray, it's a cry for desperation. Usually, whenever we pray, it's a time in which we're really desperate for some answers. And so we pray to God. I would be rich if I got a dollar every time that someone said, "I've done all I can do. Now all I can do is pray," as it's a last resort. How about if it's our first priority, folks? That somehow prayer is our first priority rather than our last resort. Jesus tells us the very beginning of this should be our invocation of the reverence of God. "Hallowed be your name." Then he says, we should say this, "Your kingdom come." We want within our prayer for the nearness of God to be exposed, expressed, witnessed, and demonstrated. That somehow within our prayer, we truly believe that God can intervene and create a kingdom of God here on earth, and we want that to happen. That the nearness of God should be something that we should ask for. We believe that God's kingdom can come here on earth, and through our acts of service and generosity towards others, we seek that in our prayer life. Then Jesus says the next line is, "Give us this day our daily bread." Notice that Christ is only asking for the essentials here. That our life should be simplified. Now, at one time in my life, I had prophetic dreams. I would dream of something and then it would actually happen. And it usually would be something terrible. That would happen, I was telling this to some of my extended family one time. I said, "You know, I have these prophetic dreams. I dream about something, and then it happens." And then the response came to me, "Well, why don't you dream about the lottery numbers?" Now, of course, I know they were joking, but you'd be surprised the number of times that people would actually ask for some type of extravagance in their prayer, that somehow, "Save me from this ritual. Save me from this routine. Give me something extravagant in my life, Lord." A real popular thing these days is called the prosperity gospel. Anybody ever heard of the prosperity gospel? Prosperity gospel is what you'll find if you go to television a lot of times. A lot of televangelists, a lot of people who write books, a lot of people who are in the entertainment field, in religious worship services. And basically, the prosperity gospel says this: if you increase your faith, and if you increase your love, and your hope, and your trust in God, God will hear you and give you prosperity. And usually, it is a prosperity of financial gain. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the gospel, where the people who were closest to Jesus really wealthy, I sometimes wonder what gospel is that you're reading. Jesus says, in this prayer, only ask for the essentials. Don't ask for the excessiveness, because God will take care of your essentials. And then finally in this prayer, Jesus says, pray this: forgive us our sins as we ourselves will forgive those who are indebted to us. Somehow we're seeking not only for ourselves to be forgiven, but for us to be delivered from the temptation of other people's sins, and for us to forgive others that feel indebted to us. Now, folks, I don't think temptation is a sin. There's temptation all around us, all the time. But I think the danger lies in when we find temptation, that if we get pulled into it, we can act on it. The simple thing of being tempted is going to happen in this world. But when we act on our temptations, we're in very dangerous territory. Jesus says you should pray to be delivered from those temptations whenever you're praying. Then Jesus says a very interesting phrase after this. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Notice the context in which Jesus is offering us these words. He says in the very beginning, we asked God's presence and sovereignty to be involved in all anything that we ask for. So when we come to this portion of where we and seek and find, this is not something which we do on our terms. We are not inviting God to the negotiating table to strike a deal. We are wanting God to be involved, the sovereignty of God, the authority of God. We want the reverence of God to be involved in anything which affects us. Any areas of difficulty, any tragedies, any crises, we're simply asking for God's presence to be involved in there. The Lord's Prayer is not something which we are cajoling God. We're not asking God to reevaluate priorities. We're not asking God to reevaluate situations. We're not even seeking to change God's mind. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are seeking God to reshape our lives. And that's why we pray the Lord's Prayer, because we're seeking God's presence in all things to shape our lives. When I was at United Theological Seminary, I had a theology instructor. Buddy knows about theology instructors, and many of you all do. Theology comes from two Greek words, theos logos, the purposes of God. So in theology class, you actually try to figure out the purposes of God. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there evil in this world? Why, you know, you just ask all these why questions. And I had a great theology teacher whose name was Dr. Tyron Enbody. He's authored a couple of books. But he says, at some point in your ministry, someone is going to come barging into your office, and they're going to come to your desk, and they're going to say, I want to know why God took my two-year-old baby. Why did God just take my two-year-old baby? I want to know why. I want to know why. Now, I can tell you, folks, when something like this happens, when someone comes to you seeking answers, the very first thing that we do is we often open our mouths. We often give an answer, and maybe we shouldn't. When people come to you, the first temptation that you have is you want to comfort them, you want them to feel better, you want to give them some insights. And so we're prone to just answering a question like this. I can tell you folks this. There are no words of healing when a child has died. There are no words of comfort when a child has died. And I found out in my years in the ministry, there is no justice when a small child has died. I think there are times in the ministry when there should be explanation. But I also think that there are times in the ministry when there should be invitation. When we're praying, folks, we are inviting others into a deeper and more meaningful relationship with God. It's not for the purposes of explanation. It is for the purposes of invitation. We don't know why tragedies happen to people post-prayer. I prayed for this and the tragedy still happened. And then sometimes the tragedy doesn't happen to someone else. This is unexplainable. We only know that we can invite people into a deeper and more meaningful relationship with God through prayer. We don't know why sometimes miracles happen to someone and they don't happen to someone else post-prayer. I prayed for this and a miracle didn't happen. I can't explain that. What I can do is invite you into a deeper and more meaningful relationship with God and ask God to shape your life and to reshape your life through prayer. We can't always explain some of the things like faith or a Trinitarian God, but we can invite people into a daily prayer routine in which we come to understand things more fully and more better. So Jesus gives us these words. He says, ask, seek, and find. Not according to us, according to what God wants for us. Ask for God's reverence in your life. Seek the kingdom of God here on earth with everything you do and with everything that happens. And find an open door to a deeper and more meaningful relationship with God by allowing God to shape and to reshape your life. That is the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, you call us to pray. And sometimes, Lord, we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we don't know what we're praying for. But we know this, Lord. Whenever we pray, you are inviting us into a deep and more meaningful relationship with you. So, Lord, reshape our lives. Transform our hearts. Renew our souls. For every time we pray, you are doing all these things. We give you thanks, Lord, for these words of Jesus in which he tells us how to pray. And he does so because he wants us to have a deeper and more meaningful relationship with you. Allow us to know, Lord, that whenever we pray, it is not for the purposes of explanation, but merely for the purposes of invitation. And Lord, allow us to respond to that invitation. Call us to prayer and to a deeper and more meaningful prayer life with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you, when you come to a new church, you sometimes got to get used to things. And I'm getting used to things. So bear with me. So let this be our daily prayer. Lord, I pray you make me a little less like me and a lot more like you every day. And I think this is what part of what Jesus was telling us in this scripture. Would you please stand for our closing hymn, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee, that can be found on page 430.